This is a coastal story, written and presented by Charlie Connolly. There's a pier at Skegness, but it's not what it was. When it opened in 1881, it was the fourth longest pier in England, stretching 600 yards into the North Sea. Its 700-seat theatre drew some of the country's best comedians and singers, performing to packed houses every summer. Then in January 1978, 3 years before the pier was due to celebrate its centenary, a huge storm swept down the east coast of England, and giant waves demolished the pier's middle section. The pier head with the theatre was left isolated and inaccessible, except for the starlings, who would roost there and stage spectacular sunset murmurations. The great storm of 1987 did more damage. The old pierhead was dismantled, and a truncated pier now extends over the beach, just making it over the waterline. Standing at the end of the pier, at twilight, looking out to the space where the theatre used to be, it's easy to imagine the ghosts of the pier's past. The knockabout double acts, the dance troupes, the comedians peddling catchphrases that never take, the illusionists, the pierrots, the contortionists, the virtuoso instrumentalists, all dreaming of the London Palladium, Hollywood even, giving it their very best at Skegness this week, then packing their trunks for Filey next week, Morecambe for a fortnight, finishing the season with a week somewhere in front of half-full, half-interested houses, feeling farther from home than ever as autumn winds make the ironwork groan beneath them. On the other side of the footlights, the holidaymakers in their seats, paying sixpence to be transported from a windy North Sea resort to somewhere magical. Somewhere without empty brown ale bottles rolling around their feet, where they didn't have to keep one eye on the clock because the boarding house landlady locks the door at the appointed time. No exceptions. Men with carefully oiled hair, trousers creased by 10 minutes in the steam press, jacket collars scratching at their sunburn. Women in summer dresses, hair curled, lipstick immaculate. First dates, second dates, last dates. Happy couples, miserable couples. The lonely, the bored, the deliriously happy. Of all the acts that passed along Skegness Pier, Frank Gadsby's fame was of a particular kind. Professor Gadsby, he sometimes called himself. He was Daredevil Gadsby on some bills, but most of the time he was Peggy Gadsby, the one-legged pier diver. For nearly 30 years he travelled the country, plunging from 50 feet, 70 feet, 100 feet, sometimes into the sea, sometimes into a tank of water barely 5 feet deep, sometimes wrapped in burning cloth, sometimes landing through a membrane of burning oil, always with the grace and poise of a natural showman and gifted athlete. He was known around the country. There were even rumours he'd perform for the President of the United States. But Skegness always felt like coming home. He was born in 1882 in Nottingham, the son of a fishmonger. When he was 4 years old, a complicated dislocation resulted in young Frank losing his right leg at the hip. He took over the family business in his teens on the death of his father, then went on to run a couple of pubs in the city until, in 1913, he was declared bankrupt. Frank needed to reassess his future, find a new way to make a living. maybe turn his missing leg from hindrance to opportunity. He'd learned to swim when he was 12 years old and soon became a key member of the Nottingham water polo team. He also began to build a reputation as an excellent trick diver. So much so that in 1904 he was part of an aquatic entertainment programme put on in Piccadilly for the future King George V. At the age of 29, Peggy Gadsby moved south with his wife and two sons to Eastbourne, where he would perform trick dives from the pier into the English Channel before hopping up a ladder and passing the hat around. 2 years later, he moved on to Southport, performing the same tricks and undertaking a 9-mile swim from Formby, watched by thousands, his last strokes cheered by a packed crowd on Southport Pier. The hat was particularly full that day. In September 1919, a time when the sight of men with missing limbs was far from unusual, as the climax of a season diving from the pier at New Brighton, Peggy Gadsby jumped from a biplane at 3,000 feet and parachuted down into the Mersey. "Look at me," he seemed to be saying to the thousands of wounded servicemen. "If I can do it, so can you." For most of the 1920s, the Gadsbys were in Skegness, where Peggy took up residence on the pier, performing diving feats from a specially constructed 75-foot tower. In 1926, his son Leslie joined the act, which still travelled the coastal resorts and steam fairs, giving displays and passing the hat around. In 1931, at Weston-super-Mare, Leslie fired the maroon to announce the morning show, basically a small artillery shell whose loud bang could be heard all around the town. But it hit the iron framework of the pier and bounced back, blowing off his left hand at the wrist. It didn't stop him from pursuing his father's trade as Daredevil Leslie, diving from unthinkable heights into the choppy North Sea or a small tank of water, on fire or not on fire, into burning water or just water, as Mrs. Gadsby circulated among the promenaders, collecting coins in a cloth bag on the end of a stick. "Don't forget the diver," she'd cry, adding, "Every penny makes the water warmer." So famous did the act become that "Don't forget the diver" became a catchphrase on Tommy Handley's long-running 1940s BBC radio comedy series, It's That Man Again. But nothing stays the same forever. Frank Gadsby got too old to keep throwing himself into a cold sea several times a day for half the year. He bought a scrap metal yard in Skegness, and Leslie gave up show business to help him run it. The high diving board was removed from the pier in 1949 to make room for an extension to the restaurant. Then the package holiday arrived, taking people to guaranteed sunshine nearer the equator than Skegness. British resorts went out of fashion. People got their thrills from the television. The daredevil trade of pier diving died out. And then the North Sea ganged up on the old pier, smashing through its centre, as if it had plans of its own for the old theatre that didn't involve the town. And didn't involve Peggy Gadsby, Professor Gadsby, Daredevil Gadsby, climbing to breathtaking heights, then for a few seconds being as free and able as any man as he flew through the air, feeling as if anything was possible, as the white tips of the shifting waves rushed towards him, and the sun sank behind the town in stripes of pink and orange, and the people began to arrive for a drink before the show in the theatre, in a place where a fleeting encounter could change the course of life and love, out there over the sea, where there's no pier now, and Mrs. Gadsby passed the bag around, asking people not to forget the diver. Don't forget the diver. Please, don't forget the diver. That was a coastal story. I'm Charlie Connolly, and thanks to everyone who subscribed and liked and reviewed this week. You're all fabulous humans, as are those of you who've donated the price of a pint, or even several pints, and in some cases, several pints every month, because you're enjoying these stories so much. I can't tell you how much I appreciate all of you. I'll add a link to the site where you can buy Coastal Stories, a cyber pint, in the show notes, but it's ko-fi.com/coastalstories. That's my cyber bag on the end of my cyber stick, asking, don't forget the podcaster. These stories will always be free to anyone who wants them, but all your donations are greatly appreciated. These waves you can hear were recorded on Beale Beach on an ebb tide on Thursday, the 10th of December, 2020.